to Junior Church. And I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles this morning. We're not going to use those notes that you received this morning. But I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Judges chapter 6. The book of Judges in the Old Testament, chapter 6. As we come into this passage, let's pray again. Father, we just pray that Your Holy Spirit would tune our hearts in with this Word of God. This is Your very words for us today. And God, I pray that You would just break off any hindrances that are in our mind that are getting in the way. And Lord, I know that You want to handpick each and every person for a specific task by the power of Your Spirit. And You're calling people out. You are bringing people into a new realm and a different part of their lives right now, even today. So Lord, I pray that You'd move my flesh aside and move me out of the way and let Your Spirit work and speak this morning powerfully, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, we welcome You. We welcome the conviction. You said You've come to convict of the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So Holy Spirit, we welcome Your presence. We welcome You to move. We welcome You to open up our eyes to the revelation of the Scriptures that You've given to us. Have free reign among us this morning in Jesus' name. Judges chapter 6, and I want to begin by reading in verse 11. But before we do that, I want you to picture this. In the time of Israel, corruption was broad. If you want to say it, put it in modern terms, the church was pretty dead. The altars of God had been torn down or become in disrepair, and in their place there was these altars, these vile altars to false gods and cults and garbage and junk. And so it was a dry time. And if you were to talk about someone spiritually about Yahweh, people would kind of be surprised. Because it was dead. It was dry. And there was a young man, his name was Gideon. He was young. He was in the wheat threshing floor, and he was doing his job, doing his chores for the day. Anybody have chores in here? Unfortunately, all adults have chores every day, and young people have chores to do. He was doing what he was supposed to do to help his family out with their business. Now, I want to pick up in verse 11. Now, pay close attention. These are the very words of God. This is Yahweh, the one that spoke us into existence, speaking. He says, "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah," which is a town, "which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites." So, here, picture this. Not only was things in disrepair, but another nation had come and taken over the Israelites. And what they would do is have them do the work, and then they would steal all their food and their grain from them. So here's little Gideon, down in the wine cellar, pressing out the meat so that the Midians wouldn't come and take it. Can you imagine doing that? That's your food. That's the livelihood of your family. So you had to hide. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." Now here's a guy hiding down in a cellar for fear that the Midianites are going to take his food, his grain. And then this angel shows up and says, "Mighty man of valor." You know, we're talking about fear this morning of coming down to the altar. When God appears to you, He doesn't just come and say, "You don't have the strength to make this change in your life, to surrender and to build an altar to the one true God, make a commitment to Him in your life." He comes to you and says, "Strong woman of valor, strong man of valor." Why? Because when His Spirit moves and quickens in our life, He gives us the power to do what He's called us to do. To obey Him. To follow Him. And Gideon said to him, "Please, sir, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened?" People were disgruntled with God because, "God, why did You allow these Midianites to come? And why are we in such oppression?" The answer lies right in their own yards with the altars they built to these false gods, and they allowed the altar to God to be torn down, their commitment to God to come by the wayside. But why has this happened? And where are all His wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, you know, this is old religion, this doesn't work anymore, God is not here. Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian. And the Lord turned to him and said, go to this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. God had already deposited something within him. Did you get that? He says, hail, mighty man of valor. And then he says, go in this might of yours and save Israel. What might? I'm down in the threshing floor. Hail, mighty man of valor. The moment the angel spoke those words of revelation over him, the Spirit empowered him for the task that God gave him. And so, folks, we don't need to be afraid to do what God's called us to do, because when He fills us with His Spirit, when He calls us, He gives us the power to do it. He's not going to call us to do something and not give us the supernatural power to do it. He's not going to say, get up and go over here and tell somebody about Jesus Christ if He's not going to give you the power to do it. Oh, the grace and the hand of God when we surrender to Him and give our life over to Him. But now the Lord had forsaken, and the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours. Do not I send you. And he said to him, please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest. I mean, we're the smallest, most insignificant family here. We don't have much money. We don't have much clout with the people. We come from maybe perhaps broken homes. We come from places of hurt and pain in our lives. And the Lord said to him, but I will be with you, and you shall strike down the Midianites as one man. And he said to him, if now I have found favor in your eyes, show me a sign that it is to you who speak with me. Please do not depart from here until I come to you and bring out my present and set it before you. And he said, I will stay till you return. So Gideon goes and he prepares this offering. And I'm not going to focus on that section right now at this time. But nonetheless, he prepares this offering and the angel touches it with his rod. Wow, that's really cool. Have you ever seen anything like that? The angel touches it and it starts it on fire and consumes everything. Here's a young man with fear. God says, I want you to get up and go out. You're called out. And he makes this offering before the Lord. And so, after he saw that, in verse 22, he said, the Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord. And Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, Adonai Yahweh, but now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Now, here's some theology for you. When he talks about the angel of the L-O-R-D, capital L-O-R-D, he's talking about an appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament. Jesus, he thought was an angel, appeared to Gideon, even before he came to die on the cross. The appearance of God Almighty. No one can look at the face of God except through Jesus Christ. He says, alas, Lord God, I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face. But the Lord said to him, peace be to you. Do not fear, you shall not die. We just took communion this morning. The only way that we could look at the face of God and the Son of Jesus Christ when we appear before Him is because of His sacrifice on the cross. The only reason that Gideon could look at the angel face to face and not fry and die right before that presence, I mean, that rod when he touched, it was smoking. Anybody ever have electric fence on their property? I visited a farm of my friend, and I think he thought I didn't know what I was doing. So he said, here, grab onto this. You know, that's right. You think, do I look that dumb, really? There's a fear of getting burned. And more so, we're talking about the terror of God Almighty appearing before you. He knew that if you saw God face to face, you would die instantly. And he said, no, I am peace. I am Jesus Christ, so to speak. I am God in the flesh as your covering, as your protection. Boy, that is deep theology. You can study that more on your own. But when we go through the Scripture and the angel of the Lord appears, it's Jesus in the flesh appearing. We can only go to God through Him. So whatever God calls you to do, it is through Jesus Christ, or you'll die. Whatever God has called you to step up into, whether it takes a great amount of courage or it takes a little amount of courage, Jesus Christ, who is our sacrifice that we partake in of this morning through Holy Communion in remembrance of what He's done for us. And so look in verse 25. This is where it gets really awesome. He says, "That night the Lord said to him, 'Take your father's bull and second bull, 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the Asherah that is beside it,'" that's this pole to this false god, "'and build an altar to the Lord your God on the top of the stronghold here with stones laid in due order. Then take the second bull and offer it as a burnt offering with the wood of Asherah, and you shall cut it down.' So Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had told him. But because he was too afraid of his family and the men of the town to do it by day, he did it by night." Now, we're talking about a town here where everybody knows everybody and they know what's going on. If he was kind of naive to think that nobody was going to figure out who did it. But he did it. He obeyed. He obeyed God. And can you imagine being in that position, taking dad's and granddad's altar he had built to this false god down? Folks, I want to talk to you, get real, it's going to get real really quick here. Because your parents and grandparents and your family pass things down to you, sins from generation to generation. And let me tell you, when you take build an altar and make a commitment to tear that altar down, to tear that false commitment down, that sin, it's going to cause a whole lot of trouble in your family. They're going to get upset because you're talking about years and years and years of tradition. Well, we always had that thing on the mantle that we worshipped. How dare you take it down? We've always had that comfortable sin that we've dwelled in. We've always been down on each other and critical and abusive. We've always been this way. We've always been addicted to this, this, and this, and you name it. Imagine the pressure that this Gideon guy was in. Move dad's altar. Son, that's for holy rollers. We don't follow that anymore. God has been gone for a long time. Can't you see the Midians? That's what he was told day after day after day. Least we could do is turn to these astropole and maybe they'll give us success because the Midianites have success right now and they're ruling over us. What do you think happened? Look in verse 28. It says, "When the men of the town rose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was broken down, and the Asherah beside it was cut down, and the second bull was offered on the altar that had been built." It was still simmering on the altar of Yahweh. The smoke filled the town. What's going on here? That doesn't smell like the offerings of the Asherah pole. That's something we haven't seen in a long time. Someone committing their life to Jesus Christ, to God, to Yahweh. And they said to one another, "Who has done this thing?" Let me tell you, folks, we're talking about altars and this is why we have a little kneeling benches here, because this is a place where we make commitments to God. God works in our life and He grows us in little increments and steps. We come down to submit and surrender, and in a sense we're building an altar to God, making a commitment in that specific area in our life. But let me tell you, when you do that, the enemy is going to come at you with everything that he's got to discourage you. Family members are going to say, "Why did you do that? You didn't have to do that. That embarrasses our family." They said, "Who's done this?" And after they had searched and inquired, they said, "Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing." There's eyes and ears all over the town. They knew who'd done it. They heard the sounds in the night of the Asherah pole being taken down. People are going to take notice when you start to get rid of the sins of your family out of your life and you start to receive healing. People are going to notice. And then the men of the town said to Joash, "Bring out your son that he may die." Now, Pastor Mike, you're preaching this sermon. You mean when we go and obey God, we're going to die? Maybe for the kingdom of God. But it's glorious to die for Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice what happened here. He said, "Bring out your son and Baal," and he cut down this Asherah pole. But Joash said to those who stood against him, "Will you contend for Baal?" Are you going to stand up for these commitments to sin and his family history? Or will you save him? "Whoever contends for him shall be put to death by morning if he is a god. Let him contend for himself because his altar has been broken down." He said, this Baal, it's broken down in it. Couldn't he have protected it? Couldn't Baal have protected his own altar from this kid? This is almost like a mockery going on. He says, "Therefore, on the day Gideon was called Jerubbaal, that is to say, let Baal contend against him because he broke down the altar." Young people, adults, whatever God is working in your life to a point of surrender, let your name be changed to, "Let that thing contend against you because you've given it already over to God." You've already destroyed that thing, that family history that's not of the Lord. "Now all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east came together and they crossed the Jordan and encamped in the valley of Jezreel." But here's folks, young people, I want us to read this. Verse 34, "But the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon." But I want you to change the words, "But the Spirit of the Lord clothed me." Can you say that together? "But the Spirit of the Lord clothed me." When the enemy comes to contend against you, when you make a commitment to God and people make fun of you at school or whatever happens, the Spirit of the Lord will be on you. And he says, "He sounded the trumpet and the Abizarites were called out to follow him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh and they too were called out to follow him. And he sent messengers on." And you can go on and he had the victory. God used Gideon to root out the Midianites out of the land. Are there any Gideons in here this morning? Are there any Gideons and Gideonesses? Gideonettes? That God is calling. Whatever it is that you're working through, whatever sin that you're held captive by, he's saying, "I want you to tear that altar down. And I want you to come and I want you to build an altar to me today. Don't worry about having the power to do it because I'm going to give you the power to do it just like I gave Gideon. Don't worry about people wiping you out because I'm going to clothe you with the Spirit of God." You see today, because of our nation is in such a wreck and pagan, just the vileness of pagans and all the things that are going on in our country of hatred towards Christians and wanting to stand against anything that's right or righteous or how are we going to survive in these? God's looking for Gideons and Gideonesses. He said, "No, I'm not going to bow down to that altar. I'm going to build an altar to God right here and right now, and I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to serve Yahweh. I'm going to be filled with the Spirit of God." God is looking for men and women who will be filled with His Spirit and who will be fully surrendered to Him. Men and women who realize that their only trust and the only way to survive is their trust in the Lord God. Men and women that are hungry for prayer and the Word of God. The church is dead. Let me tell you, the church is dead in America right now. We need a revival of the Spirit of God. We need men and women who are saying, "No more status quo. I'm going to get in that prayer meeting. I'm going to start getting a hold of the altar and seeking God's face with all of my heart, soul, and mind and strength. God, would you come? Because every revival, every deliverance comes from the people of God pressing in prayer. Do you believe the Spirit of God will clothe you? Do you believe, is this just a facade for us as Americans to have God tacked on and say we're a Christian nation? What about all the altars in our yards and our homes and the parts of our souls? The things that don't really matter. We're drunk by TVs. We're drunk by cell phones. We're captivated by it. Don't you see? It's all part of Satan's plans to dumb us down and shut down the moving of the Spirit in our lives. We need the power of God. I need it. There's a level of surrender that God wants to work in you. So will you begin this week to tear down those altars to Baal? Will you begin this week to build, I'm going to build an altar to Yahweh, and I'm going to ask if the worship team will come. And this morning, maybe there's some areas in your life that God is moving in you to let go of today. You know, all it takes is for you to step out just as we practiced this morning and come down and say, you know, you don't even have to spend a long time. Gideon did it at night. But if you want to come and just say, God, this particular area of my life, I'm afraid, I don't know how to overcome it, and I'm not going to overcome it right now, but I'm going to take this step of surrender and I'm going to invite you to come in and begin to work with me on this area. God, I haven't had a spiritual hunger for you. God, I've been going about the business. I've been coming to church on Sunday mornings and that's it. My spiritual life is dead and I need a move of God's Spirit in my life. Come. Jesus says to come while we can. To come drink from the river of life. To come receive His love, to come receive His power. Have Your way, O Lord, in us. Have Your way, O Lord, in us. God, I would just first publicly ask Your forgiveness, God, for my laziness, my spiritual laziness, Lord. God, right here and right now, we want to declare this process of beginning to tear down these altars to Baal in our lives, whatever they might be. Forgive us, God, for getting drunk with the things of this world that just aren't going to last. God, I pray for the soberness, the sobriety to come from Your Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask together as Your saints for a will, Lord, even a will, as David prayed, to do the right things. A will to get set free from the things we're mesmerized by, the unholy gaze on material things. God, that You would break that drunken stupor over us as a people. God, I pray that as in my life and my brothers and sisters' life all over this room, that You would raise up Gideons. God, we welcome Your Holy Spirit. We need Your Spirit's power to do this. So come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Move among us today. Have Your way in our hearts. Let's stand together and sing.